We'll be reading a psalm of King David, Psalm 98, this morning. Psalm 98, hear now the word of our Lord. O sing unto the Lord a new song, for he hath done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm hath gotten him the victory. The Lord hath made known his salvation. His righteousness hath he openly showed in the sight of the heathen. He hath remembered his mercy and his truth toward the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all the earth. Make a loud noise and rejoice and sing praise. Sing unto the Lord with the harp and the voice of a psalm, with trumpets and the sound of a cornet. Make a joyful noise before the Lord, the King. Let the sea roar and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell there within. Let the floods clap their hands. Let the hills be joyful together before the Lord. For he cometh to judge the earth. With righteousness shall he judge the world, and the people with equity. Amen.
Good morning, everyone. This morning, I want to speak to you and learn a little bit about a word that occurs throughout Scripture, and it's not meant to be a lesson in Greek here. But the word in Scripture is pleroma, P-L-E-R-O-M-E. And that word, pleroma, we find throughout Scripture, and it is translated in various forms of fullness. Pleroma is equal to fullness, and various forms of filled and to fill. It has the connotation of completeness, as opposed and in contrast to that which is desolate, wasted, that which is flooded, that which is burned, conditions that are without form or void. It characterizes that which is to come as a result of the problem of the ages. And we have discussed the problem of the ages, and that is that it's the presence of evil and the results of that evil. And pleroma is in contrast to that which has occurred as a result of the presence of evil. And as a result, of course, the apparent need and necessity for suffering in this life, buffeted by feelings of frustration that are expressed by Job and others in the Scripture, frustrations and things that occur to you and to me in this life, to our family and friends. In thinking about this, I was thinking about all the frustrations and sufferings that we go through, and I remembered a song back in the, in the 60s somewhere where it says, "Stop the world and let me off, tired of going round and round." You remember that song? That's kind of what we are faced with. We're faced with the continuing circumstances of frustration, of suffering, and things in this life. And however, there is a most gracious purpose in God's plan, and it includes what is described in the word pleroma, or fullness. And in our lesson today, I want to, as Milton said, justify the ways of God with men, because there's sufficient indications in Scripture to show that when God's plan is pleroma, when God's plan is in its fullness, when God's plan is complete, we, like Job, shall come forth as pure gold, approved, tested as fine metal with no dross left over. So the first question that I ask you today is, what is the purpose of God's creation? Why did he create earth? things were spiritual. He was there in heaven. Why did he make a physical world? Why didn't he just leave things as they were? Well, Ezekiel tells us a little bit about why in his description of the wheel within a wheel. Do you remember the wheel within a wheel that Ezekiel talked about? The big wheel ran by faith. The little wheel ran by the grace of God. A wheel in a wheel, way in the middle of the air. One wheel with its dreadful rings gives way to another wheel or another dispensation. And there's great gaps or intervals in between each of these wheels that Ezekiel sees until the purpose of the ages is consummated. And these gaps or these conditions that exist in this world are in direct contrast to pleroma or fullness. These conditions that we find ourselves in are the result of a catastrophic event, a moral catastrophic failing, and it created a gap or a rent in what God originally created. And within this gap, in the ages in which we live, there is a series of fillings. They are not the fullness, but they are fillings into the gap or the rent that was caused as a result of iniquity being found in Satan. It is a filling of Adam and his world, a filling of Noah and his world. It is Israel and their inheritance. And until Christ comes, there is no fullness. So if you will, turn first in your Bibles to Galatians, the 4th chapter. It's on page 1754, Galatians, chapter 4, page 1754. And in this particular chapter and verse, we find an occurrence of this word, pleroma, which is a most important word in Scripture. Galatians chapter 4, verse 4. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoptions of sons. Verse 4. But when the fullness of time, now, something to notice there is it says time. It doesn't say times. In the fullness of time. And man born of a woman. And then in verse 5, a hint as to the redemptive nature of God's purpose and plan. In the fullness of time, God came, born of a woman, made under the law to redeem them. Now, when we move to Ephesians, if you'll turn over to Ephesians, the next book over, and look in Ephesians chapter 1, page 1760. Ephesians chapter 1, and we go down to verse 10. That in the dispensation of the fullness of times, now we have plural. It's sometimes translated, if you're using RV version, the revised version, you might find in the fullness of seasons, but it's plural. It's not singular. He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth. So here in the plural, we find the fullness in heaven and in earth, and we find this word pleroma again in that verse. Now, jump over to the next book, which is Colossians, the first chapter. Two books over. Colossians, page 1782. Colossians chapter 1, verse 19. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. So here again we find this word fullness, pleroma. In him should all completeness dwell. It's the fullness of him that filleth all in all. And we keep finding this, this filling that takes place throughout Scripture. Turn to Ephesians, back to Ephesians chapter 1, page 1762. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22. Ephesians chapter 1. And he hath put all things under his feet and give him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. So here we find the word again, two different versions of the word pleroma. Fullness of him that filleth all in all. So it's a very important word, and you can't just read over all of these occurrences of the word fullness and fill and fillings without asking some questions. Now, I have a little sidebar issue here that I want to go to and talk about before we go on with this filling. If you go to Genesis chapter 1, it doesn't make any difference if you are in the Hebrew language or if you're in Septuagint, which is the Greek language of the Old Testament. In Hebrew and in Greek, in Genesis 1, there's no article. In English, you find in the beginning. But in Hebrew and Greek, the is not there. It is just beginning. In beginning. But it doesn't make any difference whether you're in Hebrew or in Greek or in English. In the beginning has a significance of time factor included in that. Either way, there's time included. But when you go to the end of Scripture and you get to the book of Revelation, in beginning takes on a different meaning. It takes on a fuller sense. If you will, turn to Revelation, the first chapter. Revelation chapter 1, page 1884, by the way, 1884. Revelation chapter 1, verse 8. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. All of a sudden here, there's no time factor. We go from the beginning or in beginning, which has a time factor. Here we come to a person. I am the beginning. No time indicated. It is the title of a person. Turn over to chapter 21 in Revelation. Chapter 21, verse 6. And he saith unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. Here again, it is a title of a person. I am the beginning. You find the same thing in chapter 22, verse 13. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. So now it takes on, beginning takes on a different connotation because we begin to see that it is not just a time factor that's involved here. It is, in fact, a person. And so there are two extremes found in the purpose of God's creation. By him and in him were all things created. He himself is the beginning. He himself is the beginning of the new creation to come. He himself is the end. And in him, all pleroma, all fullness, all completeness will dwell. Now, at the time of Moses, when Moses wrote Genesis 1, Moses didn't know that. He had no concept of that. Just as he had no concept of the building blocks of life. God didn't waste any time explaining to him how things were put together. He just let him know that he created the earth. And so it is with the redemptive purpose. From the beginning, creation had as its goal the redemptive purpose of the ages. We read that in Galatians chapter 4, verse 4. But it was not revealed unto man until man had sinned and Christ had died for his redemption. Now, between Genesis 1:1 and Revelation 21, the last chapter of Revelation, there occurred a huge, catastrophic event or a gap. And yet in Revelation it says, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth." So we had the original creation. Then we come to the end and we see a new heaven and a new earth. But in the beginning, this new heaven, or this original beginning, this original creation, became without form and void. And one of the ways to illustrate that is with a piece of cloth. And we're going to read about this cloth throughout Scripture because it's compared what happened there in the beginning after Genesis 1 in 2. There was a rent in God's original creation. Here is where the ages began. Age time. There was no time before. But here is where age times begin. And here is the new heaven and a new earth. And in this interim, in this gap, or in this rent where we are now, will become the fullness of time. At this point right here where the ages began is where sin began. This is where Satan and the angels fell. And time began. And into this rent or gap, the present six-day creation, that which you read about in Genesis chapter 1, is placed as a fullness and a completeness, or a repair, if you will, to carry the redemptive purposes to the threshold of eternity. Here, age times begin, and the fuller goes to work. Now, what is a fuller? Has something to do with pleroma, has something to do with fullness. What is a fuller? Anybody got any ideas? Well, the fuller is a person that has to do with the production of cloth. And if you will, turn to Matthew, the ninth chapter of the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 9, page 1326. And in chapter 9, we will look at verse 16. No man putteth a piece of new cloth into an old garment, for that which is put in to fill it up taketh from the garment, and the rent is made worse. Look at Matthew, Mark chapter 2, verse 21. The next book over. Mark chapter 2. Mark chapter 2. Verse 21. No man also soweth a piece of new cloth on an old garment, else the new piece that fill it up taketh away from the old, and the rent is made worse. Here we see the filling again. Turn to Luke, the fifth chapter. Luke chapter 5, verse 36. Here Luke tells us the same thing. They all understand this to the point that they include it in what they write. Verse 36, and he spake also a parable unto them, saying, no man putteth a piece of a new garment upon old, if otherwise then both the new maketh a rent, and the piece that was taken out of the new agreeth not with the old. And so here we see more evidence of this illustration, or it's a parable of such that we hear throughout Scripture about this rent that occurred. The fulling of cloth is a process that describes the fuller. When cloth is made, it's a very rigorous process under which cloth goes in order to turn out a good piece of goods. Back then, it was woven, but then it stomped. They put nitrite in with a lye in with the water and nitrite to make bleach. They stomped it and they wrung it and they washed it and they teased it and they scourged it. They carded it. They shrunk it and stretched it and washed it clean. And when the fulling, and that is considered, that's described as fulling. That's what and they do that to cloth today, except it's done by machine. If you see them make cloth, it goes through these vats of dye and materials and bleach, and the scrubbers scrub it, and they weave it, and they stretch it, and they run it through over hot rollers. It's fulled. And so the fuller is a person that fulls cloth. Now, once the cloth is fulled, it loses its original hardness. And there is no completeness of cloth. There's no fullness of cloth without fulling. This is true of cloth, and it's also true of the fulfillment of God's purpose and plan. Examples of this process in Scripture can be seen in many places, but I want to point out two for your thinking this morning. If you will, turn to Malachi, page 1299. That's the last book of the Old Testament. Malachi, page 1299. And look at the third chapter. Now, the verse that I'm going to read to you is very well known. And the reason that it's very well known is because Handel put it in his great work, The Messiah. The only problem is he left out part of the verse. I suppose the meter was not right, and he didn't want that in his composition, so he left part of this verse out. But the verse is verse number 2, and it makes me laugh when I read it. Malachi chapter 3, verse 2. But who may abide the day of his coming, and who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire. And Handel quit right there. The rest of the verse, of course, he is like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap. Here we see the prophets speaking of this fullness that will occur when Christ comes. And this verse just, when I read this, I think of the Fuller Brush Man and soap, you know. But here we see in this process the rent and the cloth and this process of fulling with Christ as the fuller. Turn to Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9, page 1403. Mark chapter 9, verse 3. And his raiment became shining, exceeding white as snow, so as no fuller on earth can white them. So here we see Christ in his raiment as being whiter than any fuller on earth could possibly accomplish. This word pleroma is scattered throughout Scripture, and the process and the examples are extremely important. This is used of the new covenant. The word is used of the new creation. It's used of the new man, the new heaven, and the new earth. In fact, Psalms 40:24:1 becomes much more purposeful when you read, "The earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof." The earth is the Lord's and the completeness thereof, because he is the fuller and he will cleanse it and full it and make it new again, a new heaven and a new earth. Until then, until that occurs, the Scripture describes the things that we are living with today and for centuries now has been the case. Anxiety, earthquakes, deadly serpents, distress, overflowing rents, desolation, fire, gaps, cataclysms, a time of healing, waste, void, without form, scattered. Everything that has nothing to do with that which is perfect and which is complete by the fuller is where we find ourselves today. But as we have seen in Ephesians, when we read Ephesians 1:23, the completeness, the fullness, the answer of the Godhead dwells in Christ, where he is the fullness and he will fill and be all in all. This gap or this rent finds its completeness actually in the church of the one body. The church is untouched by this that has occurred. The church was selected for a different purpose before, and it is in him and through him that filleth all in all, and that is the church of the one body that has been exempt from this and is seated with him. It is something that was never to pass away and never to be affected by this rent. Fullness, or pleroma. That's your Greek lesson for today. Any questions? Yeah. I pointed that out because that's worthy of a whole nother study. I just wanted to make sure that you were aware that the fullness of time is different than the fullness of times and the difference of the fullness where he dwelleth all in all. And that's, like I say, that's worthy of another study. The fullness of time was that period of time that dealt with Israel in the earth. As you get to seasons, it begins to take on both the earth and the heavens, or the firmament that's there. And finally, all fullness dwells in the church of the one body. So I didn't go into that and explain very much about it, but I wanted to point that out, how important it is to realize those tiny little differences in Scripture. Time, times, and complete dwellness of fullness in Him. We may have to do another lesson on just that. Any other questions? How many knew what a fuller was? Doesn't that make understanding that now? Doesn't that make a lot of these verses more understandable? What? The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. I never could comprehend. What is that? The earth is the Lord's and the completeness thereof. When it's new and when it's full, then it will be complete. Perfect. So it's a good example. Rosemary, she was saying, you know, I need to take that back and let my kids rip some cloth too, because that's what happened. That's where we are today. That's where the creation is. It's in place of this until it's complete in Him. Let's pray. Father, we thank You again so much for our salvation that we have in Christ Jesus. We are so grateful for the Word of God and what we can derive and learn by from it. Again, I pray that we may continue to grow in love and grace and knowledge of Your Word. I pray for each person here this morning that You would give them open hearts and open minds. I would ask that You send Your Holy Spirit that they may learn and understand and have a desire to know more of You and Your magnificent purpose for the ages. For it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.